News Radio WGNS, Murfreesboro.
The views and opinions on this show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of WGNS, its management, other hosts, or advertisers.
All right, thank you. And this is Edwin Lee Raymer. And yes, the views expressed on this show are my own views. And, you know, thank goodness they're not the opinions of my guests who are here tonight. And we've had a last-minute addition. And Mike Sparks, I'm going to talk to you when I see you again. Quit laughing, David. David Syracuse is here. You all know Carolyn Cox. She's a good friend. And has been a great friend of this show for several years. How you doing, Carolyn?
I am good, thank you.
You know, we were just telling David walking in last time you and I were, you were set to be here along with three or four other people.
Right.
That we had already set up. It was a Sunday night before Martin Luther King Day.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some changes.
We did.
Because of Mother Nature.
Yes.
And we had a snowstorm.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I went back and I looked at that show. And, you know, Brian Barrett, our station manager, was good enough to call in because he had a new toy at that time. And he was monitoring this storm that had moved in. Now, David, you don't understand. A half an inch of snow around here, I mean, it's called in the National Guard, okay?
Right.
And we had, the last time when I got off the phone with you, you were sitting watching the Detroit Lions on television, and you were eating in a jar of peanut butter.
I don't know about all that.
Yeah, I do. I can go back and pull the tape for you. I have Jackson go back and pull the recording. Yeah. But you were sitting at home, fat and sassy. No offense, because you've lost a bunch of weight. Well, this lady's lost a bunch of weight. But.
And now he's putting all my business out in the street. Okay.
But it was a mess. It was a mess.
It was a mess.
It was a mess. You had come back from another function in Nashville.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. And the thing that was so amazing is that when I left the house in Murfreesboro, it was just a few flickers.
I know.
And by the time I left that event, it wasn't an hour later, the streets were slick. And I was a little concerned.
Not only that, what we get around here, and David, Mr. Syracuse, understand, when it starts snowing or raining and the temperature drops below 30 degrees, we got a problem here.
Oh, absolutely.
Because we're just not equipped for this. Now, our son runs Complete Yard Care. He's one of my sponsors. I don't lie about it. And when I came up here that night at 8 o'clock, and you were supposed to be with me, and I'd call you and said, hey, let's cancel this thing. I don't like anybody, my guest, out slipping and sliding up down the road. It's not worth it. This is Ed Raymer at 8 o'clock on Sunday night, Ed Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like there's 80 million people waiting to hear with bated breath what I have to say. But this was important, and I don't like my guest out there taking a chance and try to even get Jackson out of here, you know, so everybody can get home.
Right.
But it was a mess by then, and Nick was already out. They had three snow plows out. That was bad for us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then we had a double hit because that was Sunday night, and it let up a little. Temperature stayed in the 20s, but then here come Wednesday night and Thursday, and here come another shot of it. Mm-hmm. We wound up with 5 or 6 inches of snow and ice.
Yeah.
And did y'all do anything, Martin? Go ahead, Dave.
I was going to say, I could only imagine because I'm from Florida. So we don't know what snow is.
Okay, we didn't bring you in here to brag. Mike, you and I have got to, we're going to have a talk, Mike. Okay, I don't know who this guy is, how he got here, okay? But I'm sure you didn't spring for a cab to get David up here. But we did have, because we did have a mess. Are you originally from Florida, Dave?
Well, I'm from New York, but I was 5 when my parents moved down there. So
yeah.
Best decision ever.
I bet it is. Okay. I'll tell you what, let's kick this thing off, Jackson, if you don't mind. But for right now, my name is Edwin Lee Raymer, and yes, I am still a private investigator. The last time I checked, welcome aboard.
This is the Edwin Lee Raymer Show with your host, Ed Raymer, on your good neighbor station, News Radio WGNS.
Kick you off tonight. This is Edwin Lee Raymer Show. I'm your host, Ed Raymer. And welcome to WGNS. The show is produced here at Studios WGNS AM 1450, 100.5, 101.9 FM, right here in the heart of the great volunteer state, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Now, you can reach us tonight with your questions, comments, or your thoughts at 615-893-1450. That's 615-893-1450. Elaine Williams, thank you for the text earlier referring to David's Femme. We're going to get to that in just a minute. You can also send us a text. I'm sorry. Last week we got that correct. If you need to send a text, send it to my private phone, 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. I can't guarantee I'll be able to get it, but we'll try our very best, okay? Because there's a lot that gets to happening up here occasionally, especially when we start getting a lot of phone calls. And you can also, how can you reach us? Okay, the good old radio. That's that little rectangular box that's in the dash of your car. If any of you have ever bothered to listen to it or turn it on, okay? And very few people do anymore. My wife listens on Alexa. Occasionally, you can catch us right now on YouTube Live at News Radio WGNS. We're on there live. You can type in and catch all my previous programs, WGNS, Ed Raymer Show. It'll pull us up, no problem. We're on Facebook Live, and you know, a number of ways you can get a Stitcher, all the media. Check it out. You can find us if you want to, and some people really don't want to, and I understand that. And you can download the WGNS app, take WGNS with you wherever you go, listen whenever you wish. I saw Angela Bingham out in the parking lot, and Angela has been with Simplicity. You were on her show earlier.
I was, yes. David, she's
David
wonderful.
Was. She is, if anyone was ever a blessed person, it is Angela Bingham. She lives it. And if you ever get a chance, if you can, you can look them up on YouTube as well, the Bingham Sisters. They've been singing since they crawled out of the cradle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Beautiful, cool. Beautiful people. And Mike Sparks is on every Sunday. I think he's on at 5. Were y'all on?
That's what time I was on with him, yeah.
Okay. Yep. And at 5 o'clock, Jason Qualls is on through the week with good financial coaching radio, good quality advice, and always glad to give him a shout out. Now, David, what do you got? What have you got going on?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me in today. I really appreciate
it. No, glad to do it.
And we're showing a movie tomorrow evening at 6:30 p.m. at the Malco Theaters in Smyrna, and the movie is the movie that I produced, I wrote, and starred in. So if you hate it, it's really just all on me. It's all my fault. The movie is called The Uncivil War, America Divided. And it talks all about the summer of 2020, the hated summer of 2020,
right?
Because pretty much everything that could have gone wrong happened in the summer of 2020, right?
That
if we, yeah, right. If we remember all the way back to 4 years ago, I mean, it feels more like 40 years ago to me now. I don't know if you feel the same way. But
yeah, we've relived it so much.
We have, and yet now it seems like ancient history. And when you watch the film, even I've actually seen it now 25 times in theaters because I've been to every single showing of it. And the thing is, you always think, oh my God, that's what we went through. It's amazing to remember all the crazy stuff that happened at that time. And the story follows two good friends, myself and my friend Shane, that I actually play basketball with. I'm white, he's black. And during that summer, he and I were kind of the first two back out onto the court playing basketball again. And we started talking about stuff, politics. And we'd never talked politics before. And then all of a sudden, our family members got involved and our friends got involved. And it just grew into this horrible thing. Now, of course, I Hollywooded it up a little bit to make it more interesting. Shane and I are still best buddies. But the story talks about basically everything that happened and the amazing division that is going on in our country that I never thought in my lifetime I would see. I mean, I remember America as an amazing thought and idea, everybody always proud to be American.
An experiment.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
And we
it
just got to
experiment.
See. We got. Yeah. I got to see a little bit of the with the Olympics. You know, a little of that American pride
closing,
coming back.
We were watching the closing, and I've never seen so many kids in my life out there. And I'm talking about, you know, I had one of my doctor friends, the gymnastics. Yep. The kid with the American Gymnastics, they're calling him Superman because he puts the glasses on. He looks like a nerd.
Oh, yeah.
Better be careful when he takes those glasses off. That kid is dangerous. And Dr. Showalter had gone to his child. These are smaller people. They're not like us. We're all giants compared to these people because gymnasts are generally small people. But he said, you have never, they went to a camp their son went to. And he said, you have never seen such bodies in your life. Men, boys and girls, they were fantastic. I'm sorry, but go ahead.
Yeah,
but
no.
It's fantastic. It's a great, it had a great closing, you know.
Yeah, it's just, it's wonderful to see the American flags, the patriotism from really all around the world.
Nobody with a foul word for anybody else. And they've, the security in France has been second to none.
Has it? Okay, that I wasn't aware of. I know they were very worried about you know, the fact that it was in the city and
goofballs.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, the that's what the movie is about. It's about these two friends, and there is also another little kind of a rom-com because my character Tom gets divorced and tries to date during the middle of COVID. And that, of course, yeah, exactly.
That was good.
Yeah, you know, you can't get within 10 yards of somebody,
Dave, let me ask you, did you use excerpts from other news sources like CNN, MSNBC? Did you put this together with some clips here and there of that?
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, again, this is kind of based on my life a little bit and Shane's. And Shane leans a little bit more liberal and I lean a little bit more conservative. And
oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Mike told me you were going to say that. He said, don't tell him that. I said, I have to. Because
David, why do you hate puppies?
Now, see, right there, why can't we all just be friends and talk about these things? You know, I always say, in the good old days, we used to fight over higher taxes or lower taxes, right?
Yeah.
And you know what? You don't get angry about that with each other. Higher taxes, lower taxes, you know, it's important, but is it really important? Now the things that people are arguing about, people are calling each other names. They're screaming at each other. Yeah. They're saying, this guy Trump is horrible. This lady Kamala is horrible. They're terrible people. They're politicians. I don't expect them to be good people. You know, they're not good on either side, politicians. To me, though, it's tough for us now to get back to having polite conversations with each other because that's the only way we're going to get things done.
You said a couple things that I'm really curious about. One of them was the fact that all of a sudden we're not all getting along. And that, to kind of paraphrase it, that we are having a number of differences or whatever, and you never saw that before.
Yes.
But if I'm really honest, that's from a very wide perspective, to be completely honest with you, because oftentimes my white counterparts, I don't know if they just assumed that there was never an issue or were oblivious to the fact that there were opportunities out there, but I've lived it for well over 50 years. I've seen it. And to be perfectly honest with you, you know, while there are opportunities where politicians are concerned, they're not all 100% on the up and up. Everybody's got an agenda, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. But my issue with Trump is the fact that he allowed, to me, with the kind of rhetoric that he put out there, simply allowed people to be rude and disrespectful. And to, you know, the bigots of the world had an opportunity to come out of the crawl in which they were hiding because they had a leader who was doing exactly the things that they felt. And because the president of the free country was able to do this, then now why can't I? And that is my issue with Trump. Because yes, we've always had issues, always. But he simply made it okay to be an ass. And that's just not okay.
Not if you're president of the United States.
Exactly.
No, you know, and I, You know, I agree with you. But now, as far as white people not knowing, not paying much attention, I've told you before.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at one. It never came up in my family, black or white.
Mm-hmm.
You never used certain words in my family. If you did, you got your backside busted. You know, and, you know, my mother broke several yardsticks on my backside. I can tell you that. But it didn't make any difference. She just went and got a bigger, a thicker yardstick, you know, from one of the furniture stores in town.
Right.
And, but certain people maybe not, and I wasn't raised any better or worse than anybody else, but certain people maybe were not raised in that type of environment. But, you know, the COVID thing did, it brought the country to a standstill.
Absolutely. COVID, I think, was a...
And as I understand, this is the bulk of what you're talking about with your film. This is a big part of it.
Yeah, so to me, the film is those discussions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those discussions are important to have.
Right.
And so I think the problem is we're not having discussions right now. We're having screaming matches.
Right.
And that's a big part of the message of the film is... What do screaming messages? Yeah,
nothing.
You know,
you're
what
not
does that get
accomplish
us? You know, right.
You know, that's one thing I say when we have. Of course, we stick a lot with local politics, and Carolyn's heard me say this before, and many other people have too. We're not here tonight with one candidate or the other to point a finger and blame and all that. We've got a problem here. How are we going to solve it? Right now, a big problem, and Carolyn knows this, in the county is impact fees, because we have a growth problem here that is. It's second to none. Yeah, we're one of the growingest counties in the United States of America. More than 50, we got 53,000 students now. It's way
it's
up so, there.
Is what, yeah, it's
way
is.
Up there.
Wow. I'm not sure of the exact
number. We
can't
build schools fast enough, and schools cost money.
Yeah.
Well,
and, you
know,
and
we're building quite a few charter schools. Get them up there pretty quickly, but okay, that's a whole other conversation.
That's all.
I mean, there's good and bad that comes with that growth.
Yeah.
And I absolutely understand what you're saying. I was a Trump supporter. I hated his messaging. I hated the way he spoke. That was not something I liked about him. The problem is, like you said, you can't. Nobody is perfect. Everybody is going to have really bad points to him. Everyone's going to have really good points to him. Most people have the stuff in the middle. His really bad was his really bad. His really good was his really good, but his really bad was his really bad. And so that was very difficult for me to get around the first time in voting for him, because I did not want to vote for him. I did not like him. I still don't like him as an individual. I don't think morally he is necessarily a great person. So that was very difficult for me. But I'm not voting for a good person. Which is hard to say, but the problem comes down to is we've got two people to vote for, right?
Right.
So you're voting for one or the other. And I think a lot of the times most people go in there and they hold that nose really, really hard as they're pulling the lever, because you got to pull one lever or the other, or you can throw your vote away and say, I'm voting for no one, or I'm voting for
a
third
right
party
in
that
your
doesn't
own
have a
name,
yeah,
which
you know,
is a waste
that's,
of time.
That's not
right.
a vote, right?
That's
so
not a vote. Yeah.
It is very difficult, but I think having the conversation is important. Mm-hmm. And so when I first showed the movie, we showed the movie all around Florida in a number of different theaters, a lot of different cities throughout the state. And every theater that I showed it in was lily white. I mean, there's just no other way to describe it. There were white people in every theater we showed it to. We went to Augusta, and that was the first movie theater where it was 60% black, probably about 60%, 60% black and 40% white.
What was your response?
So I was very interested to hear, what are people going to think? And the response that I got, and this is what I interpreted it as, the response that I got was, these are the conversations that we need to be having. And actually, what I felt like I got from the black people was, we don't need you, white people, to fight our battles for us. And I didn't get to ask anybody individually afterwards. I wish that I had. But I got a lot of, we're kind of sick of white people kind of like treating us as children and being like, we have to protect you and stuff, which is the impression that I got from the comments that we received afterwards. But it was very well received. Everyone said, we need to be having these conversations.
Having the conversation, David. David Siracusa is here. I remember your name from Siracusa. Siracusa is here with us. Talking about film's going to be released, has been released, is going to be shown tomorrow at 6.
Tomorrow, 6:30, Smyrna.
Smyrna.
Malco.
We're going to talk a little bit more about it when we come back. Carolyn Cox is with us, and we're going to discuss later on some local politics. We're going to go to our first series of breaks. I'm Ed Raymer for the Edwin Lee Raymer Show. Stay with us. Back with you right after this. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged follow, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Hey, this is Ed, everybody. Want to tell you about a sponsor of ours. We've got Complete Yard Care. Their slogan is, we do it all. Low-maintenance landscape design, retaining walls, tree removal, stump grinding, lawns cut, mulching, landscaping. Now, you can reach them at 615-785-0384. Or you can look them up on the web at CompleteYardCareTN.com. They have a 5-star ranking on Google. That's Complete Yard Care. We do it all.
Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Murfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Murfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Go to J. Mullins Jewelers. All right, and we are back. And David Siracusa has stopped in to be with us, and glad you did. Glad you did.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Angela Bingham. Were you on Angela's show earlier? You were on.
Yes, I was. Okay. Yes.
Okay, she blessed you and prayed for you and all that. Yeah, because she Absolutely. Never does me. I saw that.
I probably need it more than you.
No, you don't either. Listen, I'm on the long street alone up here by myself, buddy. And I saw them down there with this lady out in the corner. They had Carolyn surrounded the minute she pulled up, and I knew they had hands laid on her and everything. They were praying for her. And then, hey, see ya, Ed. I was just trying to get in the building, you know. Okay, Carolyn, you have a question for David. And David, let me say this: this is not the reason we called you up here. You're releasing. You're here to promote a film. But if you don't mind, would you take a question or two?
Absolutely, I would love to.
Okay,
yes.
Carolyn, go ahead.
So having David here is actually a great opportunity for me in particular.
Okay.
Mostly because most Trump supporters that I have talked to, the conversation is not rational, and it's typically filled with Fox talking points, which can be somewhat distorted as well. Now, we know that Trump is an asshole. I hope I can say that.
Well, I guess you just did. This, by the way, will be the last Edwin Lee Raymer show between David and her. I am in Sparks. You and I are going to have a talk out in the alley after this, buddy. No, go ahead. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
One of the things that you said was that there are those good things about him, that there are good things that he brings to the table. I'd like to know what those, in your opinion, what you think those things are. That's number one. And number two, seriously, since Biden has pulled out of the race due to cognitive opportunities, Trump's cognitive opportunities are rearing their ugly head and for me are becoming more and more apparent. Is that a concern for you?
Number one, no, because I haven't really seen it. Would I prefer a younger candidate? Yes. Would I prefer a different candidate for the Republican ticket? Yes. But I, you know, as we're discussing off air, when you go into that booth, you've got to pull the trigger for one or the other. You know, which one are you going to go with? You've only got two choices. It's binary, and it's unfortunate because do I want to vote for him? Not particularly. I wish there was another option. I'm from Florida. I love Ron DeSantis. I thought he would have been fantastic. Trump does have good qualities in my mind. Number one, I thought the economy was far better with Trump. I think he does a better job with the economy. Number two, I think illegal immigration is a very, very big concern for me personally. I think we need to
but
do something.
But would you agree it has been since Ronald Reagan days? This thing has been a problem for 50 years.
I agree. It's been a problem for a long time.
I am the first to say, David, and Carolyn, you may have heard me say this, and some of our listeners may have. I have said for you, we talked about this wall, in which you're not going to be able to build 2,200 miles of wall. That's you're looking at trillions of dollars. Right. And then upkeep on top of that. But I do not doubt there are places along the border where walls could be of good use to the border agents. Yes. I've always said that. Yeah. But go ahead. I'm sorry. I don't doubt that at all. There's places where, but talk to the border agent. What do you need?
Right.
Not
yes,
what
I agree
think as a candidate. I don't know anything. I don't work down there. I've never been to the border. I don't know.
I agree with you. Yes, the border does not need to be covered by an entire wall. But I think that in my mind, it's quite obvious that the Biden-Harris ticket wanted more illegals to come in, which I don't actually have a problem with immigration. I have a problem with illegal immigration. If we were to open it up more and they were to come in legally, I would not have a problem with that. That's like, I always say, it's like when I'm sitting in traffic and I watch someone go up over three curbs in order to go around 5 miles of traffic so they can get to the front of the line.
Right.
That annoys the heck out of me. I'm like, you know, if you can get up there legally, go for it. But when you do it in a way that you're running around people, like my sister-in-law came from Mexico. She did it the right way. It took her a long time to get here.
It takes a long time.
It takes a long time. So I'm fine with speeding up the process, making it easier. But to speed up the process by just saying, we're going to open the border and anybody come across any way you want, the problem there is the drugs, the human smuggling, the illegals that are coming in that are not paying into the system but are weighing down the system.
And here's another problem, too, to Carolyn and Dave, both of you. These Mexicans, it's not just Mexicans. It's all of South America.
I don't care who it is.
It's yeah. all of South America. I mean,
yeah.
Brazilian people that are coming from Guatemala.
Yeah.
And it's because of their rule down there, which is turning into a Marxist or a communistic rule or whatever. We got a caller on the line. We'll be right with you. But they're coming. So it's not just Mexican.
Yeah.
Mexican people pretty well are happy. They've got a pretty good situation down there for the most part. But the other farther south do not.
It could be Italians named Syracuses. I wouldn't care. You got to do it legally. You got to come across the right way in my mind.
I mean, other than if we're on the beach at Rio, which that's a whole different topic. And me and you will get into that later. We have a caller online. Go ahead. Hello, caller. Go ahead.
How's it going, Mr. Raymer? I just wanted to tell the guest, do you remember when he was running in 2016 about the wall? He said Americans wouldn't pay for it. You remember who he said would pay for it?
He said Mexico.
Mexico. Remember, he said Mexico's going to pay for that wall.
That is true. Yeah. You know what? A politician did not keep his word. I'm speechless.
I said it'd be the last time Christians have to vote this time. We won't have to vote no more because he's going to fix it. So, you know, I mean, but I just want to say, you guys were talking about, there was a poll came out about a week or so ago, was talking about age or something, Ms. Cox was talking about Trump's age, and they said the majority of people now thinks the strength of Trump's age will affect the way, if he does win, he'll affect the way he is the president. Because now he's the oldest as far as candidate for president. And if he wins and serves out his term, he'll be the oldest president in American history. in the 82.
Yeah, I don't remember how old President Reagan was when he went out. I think he was 76, I believe. But
yeah,
now
something like that.
Yeah. Biden and Trump are both very old for
that's
a political
the most
office.
Strenuous,
I agree with
and
that.
And it's 100%. The most strenuous job in the world.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What I'm saying, though, is when Biden was doing it, I mean, for 3.5 years, we heard that Biden was too old. And Trump had all his energy, you know. He's 76. He just can do everything he wants to. He can run a marathon tomorrow. He's just so good. He's got so much energy. You know, and Biden can't do anything.
I don't know that I'd put any money on him to run a marathon.
One guy on Fox News said, Biden's getting his milk and cookies going to bed early. He can't do anything 8 o'clock. All right, go to bed now. Joe, you mean, that's all Trump knows how to do is call names. Crooked Hillary, Crooked Joe, Uncle Joe. I mean, he was mocking Kamala's laugh, how she laughed and things, and his rage and everything else.
Well, that's a lot to mock because every time I see her, she's laughing. So I don't know. She's got a great sense of humor. I'll say that much.
One final thing I'll tell you is they had a poll about the economy, and now they say that handling the economy, it's Harris. They say the American people, 1,000 voters were surveyed, and 42% believe Harris can handle the economy better, and 41% Trump can. So all I'm saying is Trump wanted Biden to stay in. Biden got out. Now he's scared to death. I'm just telling you. He's scared to death. And Edwin Lee knows it, too, and so does Ms. Cox. He's scared of her. He got out of the debate. He finally agreed to debate her next month, finally, after all this mess.
Well, that hasn't happened yet, so we'll
see what happens. But it's going to be a close race. But the thing I'll say about your movie is people just can't agree to disagree. That's the biggest thing I get into nowadays. Is they just can't disagree about certain topics. But I'll just leave it at that and enjoy your show. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Jeff, very much. Good supporter of this broadcast. And Carolyn, you had something?
Yeah. Going back to, well, first of all, you and I can agree when it comes to immigration, because I think that we've got a problem and we've got to fix it. And I think that anyone that comes into our country should come in legally the right way to be vetted, so that the opportunities that are there with the kinds of things that you discussed become less. Are we going to eliminate it? Absolutely not. But can we make every effort to control it? Absolutely, we can. When you look at the economy, and one of the things that you said was that we had a better economy under Trump. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we have to remember about the economy is the fact that it is very cyclical. The economy was already on the upswing when Trump came into office. It was really bad because we had some issues, and again, the cycle of the economy was down when Obama came into office. Time goes on, the Dow goes up. Trump took over a very good economy, okay? And again, we've had a good wave, and it is about the market has to reset itself. It does that. It does it about every 8 to 10 years.
Yes, it does.
So there, we saw it last week where there were some corrections. And I mean, and even when you look at it, the president doesn't set the precedents on what the economy is, what it looks like. There are different policies that that Congress has to enact, and what's going on in other countries. And there are so many different factors that affect that the president himself isn't the savior of whether or not we're going to have a good economy or not. The thing that concerns me, where Trump is concerned, is the fact that this man has had multiple failed businesses. Everything he touches isn't gold, just his toilet seat. So how can someone who has done so miserably with money, and I'm not even talking about this guy didn't pick himself up from his bootstraps. He actually got that money from his folks and couldn't handle it. So why should I trust him to help make good decisions, good policy, to put good people around him that is going to guarantee, which he can't do, but to guarantee that we're going to have such a solid economy moving forward?
Well, look at this. We keep agreeing on stuff. I agree. The president does not just automatically snap their fingers and all of a sudden the economy is better or worse for the United States, for the world, for anywhere. But I do think that they have a large bearing on the economy. Mm-hmm. I think, and again, this is subjective. You're going to hear arguments from everyone, both sides, yes, nay, whatever. I think Trump did a very good job with it. I've been a business owner my entire life. Businesses, again, they fail, they prosper. There's a lot that goes into it. Do I think he's a good businessman? Overall, I do. Do I think he always makes the greatest choices with the people that he puts in power? Not necessarily. But I might turn it around to you, though, and say the same thing. Where is your support and love coming for Kamala that she's going to do an amazing job with the economy?
I didn't say she was.
Okay.
But here.
I know you didn't. I'm saying, but I might say to you, you know, to me, I thought Trump did a very good job with the economy the first time around. And we haven't really seen anything from Kamala that shows that, hey, she could do a great job. So we're kind of, it's kind of a hope and a prayer with her.
Yep. But here's what I think. Much like Obama, who put good people around him, you know, and made good decisions as to, I think that any good leader is going to make sure that they surround themselves with good people in different positions that is going to bring us the uplift that we need.
Agree.
I believe that she would be more apt to do that than putting, you know, I don't think she doesn't have kids, but I don't think she would bring her children in to run any part of, you know, the office. I think that she, you know, as someone who is able to litigate and to make good decisions when it comes to the courtrooms and things of that nature, I think that at the end of the day, I think that cognitively she'll make better decisions as far as who actually goes where to help us to build our nation. Now, last question. Let's talk about these 34 felonies.
Okay.
How do you feel about that? And I mean, he's even got more court cases that are to come. And with the Supreme Court, if this man is actually put into power, he becomes immune to any and everything that he does. And I don't care what anybody says. He helped to incite that riot on January 6th. That was the people doing his bidding at the end of the day. Tell me how you feel about that. And do you think someone with felony convictions, and he's, you know, they're there. He's not going to court. I mean, felons can't even vote, but they can run for president. Help me understand.
I've had my questions about that too. I mean, the founding fathers couldn't think of everything. Okay. But you know, your answer, Dave, please.
Yeah, so real quick, just one comment on Kamala with that. I would say that was not a great argument for you, because if you look at her staff that she's had so far, she's had a lot leave and a lot quit as vice president, and they have spoken out and have been very unflattering of her leadership. So from what I understand. So I don't think that's a great argument for her on that side. With regards to the felonies, as a Trump supporter, I would say that he has been unfairly prosecuted. I feel like they have gone after him. They have said, we're going to get him on something. And so they went out and they got him on stuff. You talk about the fact that he's been in business for decades, and he has been. And for decades, nobody ever went after the guy. All of a sudden, he's president. He leaves office, and he's got 34 felonies coming for him. To me, I feel like that is political persecution, and I don't like to see that. I think that's kind of ugly.
So okay, we're going to discount the people that he didn't pay, who took him to court, and all those kinds of things.
I'm not familiar with all of his past business dealings, but he has not had the avalanche of prosecution that he has had since he left the office. And now that he is trying to come back, all of a sudden, he's got all of these court cases coming for him. That'd be my point of view.
Okay.
Okay.
And, you know, I will say, as far as the big thing,
I love have, she's trying to be so polite
the
to me.
Big thing, you know, that I say, and always, groceries, you know, price of a loaf of bread, gallon of milk, all that stuff, dozen eggs, but gas prices are always a big deal. Well, as I don't know, surely you both know that gas prices are set by derivatives and futures trading that has happened a long time before any president mm-hmm. comes in or leaves office. That's not really up to their.
Well, that's true, but there certainly are events that happen in the world in real time that also affect those prices.
Sure, and you know, and we are producing oil here in the country anymore, and you know, that's been under both administrations. Dave, thank you so much for doing this, for agreeing to do this. We didn't mean to put you on a hot seat.
And I love it. This is great. This is three people sitting around talking and disagreeing. This is something that you don't get if you go to Russia or you go to Cuba or someplace else.
A good friend of ours, he used to be here with me, Bill Wilson. He is here in Murfreesboro, a big historian here in Murfreesboro. He has a saying that I really have taken to heart. We all must agree to disagree agreeably. And
I like that.
You know, and there was nothing more true, especially in this time. Tell us about your film, when it's going to be shown. It's at 6:30 tomorrow in Smyrna.
In Smyrna?
What's going on?
Yeah, at the Malco Theaters. And again, it's two good buddies, summer of 2020 when COVID happens, and they're talking about things just like we're sitting around here talking right now.
Right.
But it's just the two of them. And then their friends and relatives get involved. And the interesting thing is, when I tell people about the story of the movie, the first thing usually that people say to me is that happened to me. I had that.
Right.
I lost someone to COVID. And they're not talking that someone passed away from COVID. They're saying, I don't talk to my best friend from high school anymore. I don't talk to my aunt. I don't talk to my brother-in-law. And I'm thinking, that's amazing that somebody that you have loved and cared for so many years, you won't talk to them anymore because of politics. And it's because we're emotional creatures.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I have two more questions. Well, actually, one question and then one comment. So tell me the name of the movie again.
The Uncivil War, America Divided.
Okay, because I need to be able to get my ticket, so.
Yes, please.
I will definitely be there.
I know, because you're going to pepper me with questions after the movie's over.
I am. I'm excited that you're actually going to be doing a conversation after the movie. So
and the director will be there as well.
So now, I've got a little bit of research to do where Kamala is concerned and her staff, but I would challenge you to do a little bit of research.
I accept your challenge.
On his business practices prior to presidency.
Okay.
Okay.
Fair enough.
All right. Good enough. That's it.
Okay. We're going to go to our last series of breaks here. Oh, David Siracusa, last second guest. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Now, are you going to be around here long, or are you going to be? I take it after Carolyn's grilled you, you're going to be getting down here as quick as you can. Talking about out Tennessee. I mean, you know.
Tomorrow I'm out of here. I'm on the road.
Hey, we want to make you feel welcome. We really
thank
do.
You. Thank
and
you.
And there's
very
not
much.
A finer
appreciate
person
that.
In the world than this lady right here, and she is a workhorse. And I tell you, her questions are well meaning.
Oh, I know. I believe it.
Right. Check out this film, folks. We're going to go to our last series of breaks and be back with you right after this. Ed Raymer, stay with us. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged follow, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Hey, this is Ed, everybody. Want to tell you about a sponsor of ours. We've got Complete Yard Care. Their slogan is, we do it all. Low-maintenance landscape design, retaining walls, tree removal, stump grinding, lawns cut, mulching, landscaping. Now, you can reach them at 615-785-0384. Or you can look them up on the web at CompleteYardCareTN.com. They have a 5-star ranking on Google. That's Complete Yard Care. We do it all.
Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Murfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Northfield Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Okay, and we are back. Carolyn Cox is with us. Carolyn, an yes. interesting guest we've just had.
Yes, David, it was good.
Has exited the building. Glad he stopped by. And you are going to try and go to the film tomorrow?
I am definitely going to go and try and get to that film tomorrow. He has piqued my curiosity. So,
okay.
And I like the fact that they are actually going to have some dialogue after the movie. To
right.
be able to have some okay. conversations around it. So, and you know, he kind of said it wasn't total controversy, but definitely a feel good movie. And I'm looking forward to it because it would be nice to be able to have two people on opposing sides of the aisle actually be able to have a civil conversation about the issues of the day. I mean, is it, you know, it was good talking to him because I do like to know what other people are truly thinking and not just the Fox talking points, you know?
Yes. And by the way, we had a caller during that time and I guess they hung up because we got to talking. If you'd like to call back, you're more than welcome to. I do apologize. We had to just a last minute turnaround here. We had to do this. And Carolyn, I apologize. I'll have you back at a later date. You know that. But yeah, interesting fellow.
Yeah,
and coming from an interesting angle,
mm-hmm. absolutely.
Know, very much so. But I must say, and the reason I one reason I wanted to have you up here is because first of all, during the MLK Day, you know, travesty or no, I wouldn't say it's a travesty or a tragedy, but it was a mess.
It was a mess.
Night. Mm-hmm. Hadn't seen you, had a chance to talk to you since then. How have things been going?
Things are going really well.
You're with Northwestern Mutual.
I am with Northwestern Mutual,
okay.
Financial representative. We do all things insurance, investing, financial planning.
Right.
And I am absolutely loving it. It gives me a great opportunity to truly teach financial literacy,
right.
which is one thing that a lot of people that look like me don't necessarily have good information on.
There's a lot of people look like me that don't have it either. I found that out as I grew older. Yeah.
So, yeah. And, you know, been able to truly educate people on, you know, and to educate them and to help answer the question of, at retirement, am I going to be okay?
Right.
And to give them a number of vessels and things that they can do, not only to set themselves up, but to leave a legacy of wealth to their loved ones, their, you know, and generational wealth as well. So
right.
I'm super excited. You know, I've got my granddaughter and,
yeah, I know
you know,
that.
All my money, if my son don't start acting right, is all going to her. We're going to put it in a trust and we just
okay.
going, we going to work that thing out. But yeah, it's been good.
You know, I have never seen,
mm-hmm.
and David has gone on down the stairs on us, but I've got to tell you, since the president announced he would not be seeking re-election, I have never seen the Democrat Party so energized in my life as they have been since Kamala Harris, and here came Tom Walz.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's good.
I mean, and he's just, you're talking about just laying it out there.
Yeah.
You know, and I see her back there, and it's almost like, you know, oh, you know, I got a buddy. He can pretty well take the lead on this, he has to, because, buddy, if you don't want to know what's going on, you better not ask him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And she's pretty good at it, too.
Yeah.
But she can tell you to go to, you know, where in the nicest way you've ever seen in your life.
You know, Walz reminds me of a younger Biden. You know, when
in a way
when,
he does.
Yeah, yeah. When Biden was on the ticket with Obama, the energy and the excitement that he brought with that ticket was right. Amazing. And that is, to me, that's exactly what Walz has done for Kamala. And I mean, I'm excited because she really is bringing the people together.
Right.
You know, the very first call that she had, I tried to get on and couldn't get on. And I mean, the way she has galvanized the people is absolutely amazing. But you know, at the end of the day, you can galvanize all day, but unless we go out there and vote,
unless we get off our backside and go vote, that's exactly right.
You know, we cannot do what we've always done, and we just, you know, and one of the things, especially in Tennessee, we talk about, well, it's a red state, and you know, it's a red state because don't go vote.
I know, and I heard, you know, you'll see it, you know, a week or 10 days after. Well, hey, who'd you vote for? Democrat friend, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to tell you, yet I just didn't even go vote. I didn't figure to do any good. You know,
mm-hmm.
People that normally would have voted 10, 15 years ago, they were voted in every election they could vote in. Now, all of a sudden, you know, well, we just feel downtrodden. Yeah, okay, yeah, we all feel downtrodden.
Right.
Okay, mm-hmm. Come on.
And I'm going to tell you, to me, if you look at what Stacey Abrams did and that whole group did in Georgia, mm-hmm. with that Senate election.
Exactly right.
If we go vote like that.
That's going to seal the deal.
We can do some things differently.
I'm telling you right now, the one thing that I'm seeing with Kamala Harris and mm-hmm. the Walz ticket is they get a half a point here, and then they bump up a point here,
mm-hmm.
and it stays that way a few days, and the next thing you know, they're up another half point. And it's a steady rise.
Mm-hmm.
This is it's not this big, oh, we're up 10 points. Oh, now we're down 12 points. Oh, we're up again 14 points. Now we're down 5 points. You know, none of that.
Yeah.
None of this up and down roller coaster.
And between,
it's a steady, steady climb that she's making to the top.
And what we got less than 90 days, and they need to continue to be all gas, no break.
That's exactly right.
Period.
This time, it is not a marathon. This is a sprint.
Oh, yeah.
And it's
oh,
a
yeah.
dead heat.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, man, I think they really set the other side back on their heels.
Yeah, because now they don't have an answer for...
any answer.
Yeah. And so, you know, it was all fun and games when we were, you know, talking about the old guy. Now the old guy's gone. And I mean, and I'll be
oh,
honest.
Oh, no, the old guy's not gone. He's still there for the other side.
Well, in a way, he's no longer the factor.
Right.
You know?
He isn't.
And I tell you, I was feeling some kind of way about that because I was like, come on, we can do this.
Yeah, I know. I did too.
And so I was good either way, but I am excited. I am.
Well, but the thing about me about President Biden, he's continuing to do his job.
Right.
And by continuing to do his job, he is furthering the campaign mm-hmm. of the vice president.
Yeah.
He is the greatest guy. Hey, man, he can sit in my corner any day he wants.
Yeah.
Him and his wife, too,
yeah.
by the way.
Yeah.
Who ain't no slouch,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And these people, this is not for the faint of heart.
Yeah.
Okay. This thing is going to be tough. And what I do like about what the vice president says, she gets up and says, you know, we are the underdog. She's taking nothing for
mm-hmm.
granted.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And, man, I'll tell you what. I got to tell you, for the first time in my life, and I'll probably get some mail on this one, we've got a presidential candidate I wouldn't mind seeing in a bikini.
Okay. We're going to have to censor that one out, too.
It's too late. Now, I didn't want to see Joe in a bikini, okay?
Yeah, no. Boxers.
We're close to the end of the broadcast.
We are.
We may be close to the end of my little
your little rain on the radio.
Little rain on the radio here, yeah. But no, I mean, she's pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they were right about something. You ever see Trump smile? I never seen him smile.
Well, I've seen him grimace. That's almost
a smile. But he doesn't seem. He's never seemed like a very happy person. Well, that's because he takes everything so serious. Well, maybe the cat ought to loosen up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, because Kamala, I mean, she's smiling and laughing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that lady, her laugh is infectious to me.
Yeah.
It always has been.
Yeah.
I've loved her since she first come on the scene. I said, man, this gal is something else, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, I tell you, we are definitely, I know we're just about out of time, but
okay.
I am looking forward to coming back and talking to you after November.
Yeah.
Once mm-hmm. things kind of settle down and we see exactly where we are.
Right.
And let's talk about some of the opportunities that I think that we have that I within my party that I think we can fix. And honestly, the fight starts after the November elections.
Right.
And yeah. we have to get
well,
all gas.
And we've got some very decent candidates that are going out there. Jonathan Yancey's doing this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Luis Mata is.
I love him.
Is fantastic.
I'm not in his district, but
yeah.
I love that guy. I think he's great. Both
Amelia,
of them.
Amelia Pont is. You know, this mm-hmm. is her first time
yeah.
out. Who's the lady running against Desjardins? Never mind. I've got her name here somewhere, but I go.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I know
I
exactly.
Sidetracked.
Victoria.
Victoria.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
Robbins. Whatever.
Don't quote me, but no, it's Victoria.
Broderick.
Yeah.
And she's been on with me once before. We'll have her back. And we're going to have these candidates back up here.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got to say, I started to get some relief
mm-hmm.
when Ms. Harris, when the vice president, when this thing, when President Biden said, hey, that's it, I'm going to step aside. And, man, she came out of the gate, and I mean at a dead heat.
Yes, sir.
I said, man, this gal's off and running. And I finally got some relief from this same old blah, 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 you know, and your guy's too old, and, you know, and the president had, President Biden had, he's 82 years old.
Mm-hmm.
It's the toughest job in the world. As I mentioned while ago when Dave was here, this is the most strenuous job in the world. It's the greatest job in the world. But, I mean, I think we've always heard they get only maybe 4 or 5 hours of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. I mean,
look, Obama came in with really dark hair. And I mean, when I tell you that man went completely gray and just
as
saw him
white
recently.
As that handkerchief, man,
yeah.
I'm telling you. Yeah.
Yeah, it ages you. Absolutely.
I mean, all presidents do,
mm-hmm.
except Trump. Of course, you wear a wig. It's what you get.
Well, yeah.
But or you dye your hair. But
well.
You know, whatever. Okay, we've got our next guest. It's 58 to... Thanks for doing this.
You are
and
so
we're
going to
do this again.
This was good. I enjoyed it. I really did.
Well, I hope you did. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And Jackson's been on the board. And stick with us till next week. And I'll tell you what, next Sunday at 8 o'clock. Till then, for Edwin Lee Raymer Show, I'm Ed Raymer. I'll catch you down the road. Good night.
Have a good night.